What impact does Jesus have upon bondage, or does he have any at all? In the salvation of God, do we only receive something, or are we delivered from things as well? Does being saved involve being rescued or moved out of one domain into another? And what does it mean to be delivered? These are some questions I'll address in this message, Jesus, the Deliverer. My text is taken from Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Although this passage is addressing the subject of Israel, it's not limited to them. The entire context of the passage is the 9th through the 11th chapters of Romans. There Israel is depicted as not yet participating in the salvation that presently is being experienced among the Gentiles. When, for example, Paul says in Romans 10 that he desires that Israel be saved, he's speaking of the same salvation we enjoy in Christ Jesus now. There really is no other salvation. God does not have one salvation for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. There's not one gospel for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. Those who declare such things are only betraying their ignorance. It would be better for them if they did not speak at all. That would spare their hearers from being deceived and would spare them from being exposed. Christ himself came from Israel, as stated in Romans 9:5, that Christ saves the Jew no differently than he saves the Gentile. When Paul mentioned the gospel in the 10th chapter of Romans, declaring that it is to be obeyed and that faith comes by hearing it, he then speaks of a single gospel through which both Jew and Gentile are saved. In fact, he declares in Romans 1:16 that the gospel of Christ is God's power unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. One gospel announces salvation to all men, whether they're Jew or Greek. One Christ saves all men, whether they're Jew or Gentile. The fact that Israel as a whole does not presently believe has no bearing on that situation. Their deliverer will be the same Jesus who delivered the Gentile believers. Therefore, when we read of the deliverer that shall come out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob, we are to understand the reference to be to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not pictured as fulfilling another role or doing something different or bringing about a different kind of salvation. This speaks about what Jesus is presently doing, declaring there is an appointed time and he will do it again among the Israelites. Now let us look more closely at this text, for it tells us something about deliverance. Let me read it to you again. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. The New American Standard Version reads, the Deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. Perhaps you'll use the Amplified Bible. Here's how it reads. The Deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. Now that text intrigues me, for it does not follow the path of human reasoning one might expect. You might anticipate a Deliverer to include something about being freed from our enemies, or being bound no longer by debilitating habits, or being liberated from political oppression. But that's not the evidence of the Deliverer, not in this text. Here the work of the Deliverer is said to be turning away ungodliness from Jacob, which term reflects the collective people of Israel. To men, it would make more sense to say turn away people from ungodliness. But here it states the Deliverer will turn away ungodliness from the people. The literal rendering of the Greek text is, he will be turning away irreverence from Jacob. The technical definition of ungodliness, or irreverence, is a want of reverence toward God, impiety, ungodly thoughts and deeds. That is, the reason the person sins is that they really have no respect for God. A lack of reverence for him is the mother of all sin. People sin, whether a single time or throughout their life, because they do not respect God. They do not agree with him, do not honor him, and insist on doing their own will rather than his. It's not possible to sin without having these attitudes. Sin happens when there's a clash of man's will with God's will, and the person chooses their will over God's will because they think of themselves more than they do of God. That's precisely what makes sin, sin. It's what makes it ungodly. Now our text says that the Deliverer will turn away ungodliness, or irreverence, or ungodly thinking and doing, away from the people. It does not say he'll turn the people from it, but that he'll turn it away from the people. That is what the text says. Paul's statement is based upon a prophecy of Isaiah, which reads differently. It is found in Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Speaking of the coming Savior, Isaiah refers to him as the Redeemer, not the Deliverer. He prophesied he would come to Zion, whereas Paul said he'd come from Zion. Isaiah says the Messiah will come to the people who have turned from transgression, while Paul says he will turn ungodliness from the people, not the people from ungodliness. How do we explain these differences? First, there's an explanation. Isaiah was declaring a Messiah that had not yet come to Zion. Paul was declaring a Messiah that had already come to Zion, as confirmed in Hebrews 12:22. The Zion of reference is the holy place now occupied by Jesus, and from which all spiritual blessings are being conferred. It is the place to which we've come in Christ, as affirmed in Hebrews 12:22-24. But you are come to Mount Zion and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Isaiah referred to the people who turned from transgression, signifying their repentance and abandonment of their sinful ways. Paul views the matter from another perspective. When he says a deliverer will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, he's describing the change of nature that induces repentance. That is, a deliverer will cause ungodliness to become repulsive to the people, for no man can cease from sin until that takes place. In such a case, ungodliness will no longer be compatible with the people. The psalmist described this kind of repulsiveness when he twice said, "I hate every false way." Psalm 119, verses 104 and 128. Through the psalmist, the Lord admonished the people, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil." Psalm 97:10. Paul admonished, "Abhor that which is evil." Romans 12:9. The truth of the matter is that no person will depart from evil until they hate it. Concerning this matter of hating evil, Jesus himself has led the way, as we might suspect. This is one who has these revealed traits. In fact, God says that he has bestowed special joy upon him because of his hatred for sin. Here's what is said of Jesus and God's own assessment of him. "But under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of joy above thy fellows." Hebrews 1:8 and 9. Solomon said, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Proverbs 8:13. And Jesus perfectly embodies that truth. It is fully realized in him. Now the salvational work of the deliverer is to produce that mindset in the people, to turn ungodliness from them and cause it to become detestable and repugnant to them. He does this by showing them what ungodliness really is. It is despising God, disagreeing with him, and hating his ways. It's being stubborn, hard-hearted, and rebellious against God. Ungodliness is the result of obeying the devil, being deceived, and being conquered by the powers of darkness. Ungodliness is a frame of mind in which the person willingly fights against God, doing so because of their ignorance of him and inability to know him. It includes resisting the Spirit, being grossly ignorant of what God has revealed, and loving this present evil world. Ungodliness causes the person to love themselves and hate God, seek their own ways and reject the ways of God, and hate righteousness and love iniquity. Ungodliness is what causes a person to sin. It is what enables Satan to maintain the control of the individual. It is what keeps the person in ignorance and does not permit any genuine advancement toward the Lord. And how is a person to be changed who's in such a state? Can they deliver themselves? Do they have the capacity to weigh the facts and turn themselves to God? Are men so gifted by God that they can overcome ungodliness by means of some new habits, a special routine, or some form of intellectual or bodily discipline? Is there really anyone who is foolish enough to accept such postulates? Yet throughout our land there are men purporting to represent Jesus who are presenting such plans. They have a plan of deliverance, but our text speaks of a deliverer. They give men steps to deliverance, but God speaks of a deliverer. They come to us saying they have a deliverance ministry, something that's never mentioned in the Word of God. But God does not speak of a ministry of deliverance. He speaks of the deliverer. Men cannot be truly delivered by a plan, a routine, a discipline, or a procedure. If men are going to be delivered, it must be by a deliverer. The deliverer then must come out of Zion, where Jesus presently resides. Deliverance must come from heaven, within the context of the Christ and the salvation that is presented in the gospel. The deliverer, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, does not come to deliver men from their self-diagnosed bondage. He gets to the root of the matter, turning away ungodliness from them. He comes to shed light upon them, and their surroundings, and their manner of life. He so works in them that they see sin, what it really is, and come to hate it. He shows them that the world is properly referred to as this present evil world, Galatians 1:4, and therefore brings them to cease to love it and its ways. When the deliverer comes, heaven is seen as better than earth, righteousness is preferred to unrighteousness, and the world to come is superior to the present evil world. When the deliverer comes, men prefer to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good, Romans 12:9. Then they fervently and consistently want to hold fast that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Viewed from the standpoint of human experience, the deliverer turning away ungodliness from people is realized in being born again, regenerated, or becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 1:23. Is being made new when old things pass away and all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It is being delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1:13. It's the beginning of a process in which men are changed from one increasing stage of glory to another by the Holy Spirit, becoming more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Where these things have not been experienced, the deliverer has not come. And where he has not come, men are still alienated from God, and the wrath of God is abiding on them, as Jesus said in John 3:36. It is imperative that men be brought to the point where the things that God condemns are hated, and where temporal things are not preferred. They must be brought to a place where the things of God are loved and eternal things become their quest. Where these attitudes are not prevalent, all religion is nothing more than pretense, for the deliverer is not present. It's a great tragedy that in our time the professed church is not noted for its righteousness, nor indeed is it noted for its hatred of iniquity. This cannot be excused as though it was some sort of normal condition, for it's not. Where people are resisting the devil, growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, Jesus is present and active. At the very best, he's outside of the church that's not doing these things as he was in Laodicea, calling out for someone to hear him and open the door to him. Here's what the deliverer said to the church in Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. That was not said to people in a bar or a club, but in the church. It was not spoken to a crowd in a casino or an entertainment event, but to the church. See, they were not living in a delivered state because the deliverer was not working among them. When he comes, really comes, he turns away ungodliness from the people. Then they cease to think unlike God, and their thoughts and ways become his, not theirs. When the deliverer comes and turns away ungodliness from the people, they're given a new heart and a new spirit, and they walk in his ways, just as Ezekiel said they would in Ezekiel 36:26-27. Here's the truth of the matter. God will not receive a people who are fundamentally unchanged. If the deliverer does not turn away ungodliness from the people, there's no chance that God will receive them. Knowing this, Paul addressed a backsliding church that had lapsed into a state of carnality. He knew that their condition betrayed the absence of the deliverance wrought by the deliverer. Here's what he said to them, and he was a messenger speaking for God Almighty himself. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. And how is such a change to be facilitated? Well, the deliverer has to come on the scene and do his work, and that will only happen when the people prepare themselves, giving him a place to work. Listener, what about you? Is it possible that you are touching the unclean thing, involving yourself in something that is contaminating you before God? Are you maintaining unholy associations that are not necessary, refusing to come away from them and be separate? How valuable is it to you for God to receive you and be a father to you? He's told you what's required. Have you been doing it? There's no need for the deliverer to remain aloof from you. He can come and turn away ungodliness from you, making you a new creation, giving you his mind and leading you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hear the words again from our text. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Now, there's something to think about.